Remember when you were a little kid and you dreamed and everything was possible? When you wanted to be an astronaut or a nurse or a doctor or a lawyer, or you wanted to rule the world, you wanted to be a billionaire, or you wanted to be a mobster criminal, whatever. You had dreams, man. They were big and they were huge and nothing was going to stop you. When's the last time you dreamed?
You know, you might as well shoot for something large because you can still end up with something smaller, but aiming for something large is really important.
I remember what it was like to be poor. I remember what it was like to be broke. I remember what it was like to be fat. I remember what it was like to be a loser. And I don't want to be any of those things.
You know, I'm fine with economy. I don't give a shit. I'm a full-grown fucking man. I'll go and sit on an economy flight for 22 hours to Sydney, Australia from LA. Doesn't matter to me. Instead, I'm on a $200,000 private jet. Well, does that make me happy? Not really. You know what does make me happy? Makes me happy that I can put the woman I love on a private jet.
It's not about a single moment of greatness. It's about the quiet decisions you make every day. The small choices, the consistent habits, the standards you hold yourself to when no one else is watching. That's where real excellence is built.
You know, this is about dream creation. You had to dream to be able to create your ideal life. Folks, you got to quit working for the people you work for. You got to quit working for a paycheck. You got to quit just getting by, and you got to quit setting goals based on just money.
When I went to all my smart friends and asked them, they basically, two-thirds of them said I was an idiot.
Entrepreneurship is a team sport more than it is an individual sport.
That if you're going to actually kind of pack up your wagons and go somewhere, make sure that where you're going is potentially really good.
So when I start to get burned out, I start to be grateful for the opportunity to even be burned out. I start to say, yeah, this is hard, but it's so much better than what I had before. You tell yourself you're going to do all these things. I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to get my money right. I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this. And you fail to do those things on a daily basis, you are losing confidence in yourself bit by bit by bit by bit.
Makes me happy that if I want to see my children, I can put them on a private jet so they turn up quickly enough for me to spend a single hour with them. I can spend $200,000 to get an hour with my kids because a jet is faster than sitting around at an airport with a bunch of fucking brokies. It matters to me that if my mother has a heart attack, I can afford the best surgeon on the planet. It matters to me that if my grandma dies, I can give her the best possible funeral. What matters to me is that I can actually take care of the people I fucking love. I don't give a shit about having money. I'll go back to living in a single room with Tristan sleeping on the floor like we did when we were broke. I don't care.
Most people believe success is about talent or luck. They think the people at the top have some kind of special advantage, a gift, a head start, better circumstances. But that's not the truth. The people who achieve lasting success, the ones who rise to the top and stay there, are the ones who have mastered the art of daily excellence. Because success is not built in a day. It's built in the daily choices you make when no one is paying attention. It's built in the early mornings, the late nights, the extra effort that most people aren't willing to give. It's built in the decision to show up, even when you don't feel like it, to push through the resistance, to stick to the process.
You need to base your goals and your desired outcomes on your dreams. You know, you need to think bigger, dream big. You need to go to work for your dreams, the things you've always wanted. And then you'll be inspired. And then you'll want to make your dreams happen. Then you can come up with plans that, hey, this and this and this will make this dream happen. Would you not be fully engaged in life? Are you tired of just getting by? Come on, remember when you were a kid? You didn't think in terms of making $8,000 a month. You didn't think like that. You thought about being the richest person in the world because it was possible. The little guy, you know, 4 or 5 years old, has got a brain smaller than the one you have right now, and that was good because the brain wasn't in the way. Your dreams were there. Nobody could tell you. I know little kids that can out-ski me. You know why? Because they know they can. They can do things with a snowboard that I can't do because my brain gets in the way. See, when you were a child, you were going to make big things happen. And somewhere along the line, mommy, daddy, aunt, uncle, you know, friends, relatives, somebody said, no, you can't have that. No, that's not right. No, you're being greedy. You shouldn't want that. So I want you to stop the video right now. And I want you to remember way back when you were dreaming. What did you dream as a child? When you were a kid, what did you dream of? And I want you to write it down.
The number of companies that really matter every year is probably between 0 and 5.
Frequently, entrepreneurs say, oh, it's a secret. I have a hidden idea. Go and talk to people about it.
This is my main plan. If that's hitting problems, like I'm not growing fast enough or I'm stalling out, okay, here are some things I can try to keep trying to do that.
Every valuable startup has weeks and months of Valley of the Shadow, which is, why did I ever think this was a good idea?
We have this expression in the Valley called fail fast.
Sometimes you find yourself, you know, pioneering, you're going, you can't find a way through the mountains.
He's an American internet entrepreneur, venture capitalist, and author. He's the co-founder and executive chairman of LinkedIn. He has an estimated net worth of $4.6 billion. He's Reid Hoffman, and here are his top 10 rules for success.
It's the same amount of blood, sweat, and tears when you start a company, whether or not it's kind of a, you know, kind of a fixed vertical market, or whether or not it's something really, really large. And the difference is that, you know, you might as well shoot for something large because you can still end up with something smaller, but aiming for something large is really important. And part of the reason why this is kind of a rule of entrepreneurship, and maybe this is the kind of thing that this room is like, yeah, yeah, we all know this, we're living it, I hope, is because if you don't start out aiming for the big game, you almost never can get there. It's got to be the kind of the how do I have kind of global impact. Like I think all high impact companies are basically have to think globally in nature these days because of the way that the market ecosystem is going. And so you go, okay, how do I play onto that stage? And you know, part of that in terms of a pioneer parallel is again, how do I go somewhere that is substantial and unique?
It's like a bank account. You are either putting a deposit in or you are making a withdrawal out. And every single time that you do not keep the promises that you make to yourself, you are making withdrawals, which means your confidence level will always be low. Here's what I think. I don't get burned out, bro, because I don't want to go back to where I came from. I don't give a shit what it takes. Dude, y'all must not hate where the fuck you came from as much as I do. That's real shit. Y'all must not hate being broke as much as I did. Because I hate it so much, bro, that I don't care. I get up and I do what I gotta do. It's fucking adult shit. It's what I gotta do. I have to remember that confidence is built. It's about building an actual stack of evidence that says you are who you say you are. And when you can look at the stack of evidence and say, wait a minute, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, and have a conscious reminder of who you are, you can X out all those feelings anytime you want. I'm under no illusions, bro. There's no illusions in my life.
That's what it is.
Like there's nobody coming to save me. I'm very aware of that. I'm very aware that it's on my back every single day. When you guys observe people who have been doing something their entire life and you call it a talent, you're actually insulting them. Because you're discounting the amount of work that they've put in to get to that level. I have lots of people that depend on me, lots of people with families, lots of people that fucking have futures and dreams and careers. And I take that shit real fucking serious, bro. So it's really hard for me to understand people who say, oh, I'm burned out. Bro, you don't have enough shit to fight for. You don't have enough shit to care about. Because if you actually care for shit more than just yourself, you wouldn't be burned out. You'd say, hey, bro, I'm getting up and going to war for these motherfuckers. See what I'm saying? It's hard to feel burned out when you're fighting for the person to your left or the person to the right. When people come to me and they, you know, young entrepreneurs come and they say, God, dude, you're so good at what you do. You're so talented at what you do. This, that, and the other. You guys should realize that this is a time thing.
Yeah.
This is not a talent. Like it's a skill set that you go through by executing day after day after day after day. We have to keep perspective real, dude. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's not always going to be fun. Yes, it's going to be difficult. Yes, you're going to want to quit over and over and over and over again. But the difference between people who actually build shit and people who say, oh, I could have built shit if I really wanted to, is the fact that they don't quit when shit gets hard.
I'll go back to flying economy after saving for an entire year to get a 3-day holiday. And some all-inclusive dump in Spain. I don't give a fuck. What I do care about is that I finally have money to be useful to the people I love. Because when I was broke, I wasn't very useful to people. I would see the people I care about struggling. I'll go to economy, no problem. I don't want the woman I fuck fucking love sitting in a economy with a bunch of fucking peasants. I don't want the woman I love going to work, having a male boss and a bunch of male colleagues trying to fuck her all day because I can't afford to retire her. What kind of fucking man would that make me to send my woman into the lion's den with dudes who are going to be constantly trying to get her fucking tits out? And I'm going to sit there and go, oh, well, I don't have enough money, so I guess she just needs to work. Are you just going to accept that? Because you're not going to try, because you're not motivated, because you're not dedicated? Having money as a man has actually nothing to do with yourself. If you're smart enough to make money as a man, you're probably stoic enough to not give a shit. I don't give a fuck about diamond watches. I don't care about cars. I don't care about private jets. I don't care about a big, nice house. I don't care about any of it. I will go back to bug level, back to the dirt, living in a fight gym like I used to. I don't care. But what I do care about is being so monumentally incompetent that the people I love and the people who rely on me can't get what they need from me, or I have to expose them to dangers. Well, my woman has to get the fucking bus, or stand around the street waiting for an Uber because she hasn't got a private driver, or my security team can't go pick her up because I can't fucking afford one. What happens when she gets raped? What happens when something happens to her? What am I going to say? Oh, but I still love you. Clearly not very much, because I didn't love her enough to dedicate myself to get rich to prevent her from fucking getting gay on a street corner. So what does my love even matter? What is my love even worth? Poor men, useless men, incompetent men's love means nothing. It doesn't matter how much you love a woman, doesn't matter how much you love your children, doesn't matter how much you love your fucking family, if you can't help them, provide for them, protect them, take care of them. And if you're gonna wake up every day as a man and lack dedication and motivation to get rich because you don't have enough fire inside of your heart to be dedicated towards taking care of the people you love, then you're probably a piece of shit person. I'm at the point now when some man goes, oh, I'd love to get rich, but I'm struggling with motivation. I look at him and it's like he's fucking scum. You lack the motivation to what? Love your woman and love your family and love your fucking children? You're either a dipshit. You're either one of the useless men. And there's a whole bunch of them out there. You're either a fucking useless loser, or you're the kind of person who's going to do anything it takes to win because you understand you have obligations as a man. You are obligated to protect. You can't not be able to fight. You have a job. You can't not afford things. You have a job to do. And it is for that reason you need to get rich.
Excellence is not a feeling. It's not something you chase. It's something you become through your daily habits. And here's the truth most people miss. Excellence is not about perfection. It's about consistency. It's not about getting it right every time. It's about showing up and giving your best effort every single day. It's about having a standard for yourself that is non-negotiable. A mindset that says, I don't lower my standards to match the world. I raise my standards to shape the world. When you develop the habit of daily excellence, success becomes inevitable. You stop chasing results and you start attracting them. You stop relying on motivation and you start running on discipline. You stop waiting for the right moment and you start creating momentum through consistent action. So the question is, how do you build the mindset, the habits, and the systems that create excellence every day? How do you train yourself to operate at a higher standard automatically until it becomes who you are? That's exactly what we're going to cover. Not theories, not vague ideas, but real, practical habits that you can apply immediately. Habits that have been tested and proven. Habits that will rewire your mind, sharpen your focus, and elevate your performance. Excellence is not a destination. It's not a result. It's a way of being. And once you learn how to master it, every single day, you'll separate yourself from the crowd. The first habit of daily excellence is mastering your mornings. The way you start your day determines the way you live your day. If you begin with discipline, focus, and purpose, those qualities will carry into everything else you do. But if you start in a reactive state, hitting snooze, rushing through the morning, you set yourself up for distraction.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Procrastination and inconsistency. Excellence begins before the world wakes up. It begins when you take control of the first moments of your day. Because if you can win the morning, you can win the day. The key is not just waking up early, it's how you wake up. The best performers in the world wake up with intention. They start their day with purpose, not by accident. Before they do anything else, they prime their mind for excellence. Some use affirmations, some journal, some meditate, some move their body to wake up their physiology. But they all have one thing in common. They control their first thoughts, their first actions, and their first priorities.
No matter how hard it is, how difficult it is, how tough your life seems to be right now, you can go anywhere you want in life, anywhere.
The number one rule in creating success is to show up, to merely just show up. In fact, it's been said that 90% of all success that people encounter is about showing up. Just show up, folks.
And I know when it's tough, when it's crazy, when you don't have any money, when maybe you have health problems or family problems or partner problems, or you're not finding that right person in your life, it all seems like, when's it going to break? Is it going to break? Is there a way out? Am I going to get a better job ever? I've been in all these situations. I lost my first five jobs I was fired from. I'm here in Miami today. This is where I live. I live in this building right here.
Just show up, folks. You ever known someone that got lucky a lot? You know what they did? They showed up. You can't get lucky if you don't show up. So suit up and show up. All highly successful people know that they have to show up. And that's what they do. They just keep showing up. What does showing up mean? Hey, it means simply getting out of bed in the morning. Sometimes when you don't want to get out of bed, you just get up and get out of bed. Nothing comes to someone that sleeps except a little rest and a few nightmares. Get out of bed in the morning. Put your clothes on. Take a shower first. Put your clothes on.
The environment that I lived in, I was losing it. I was not doing well. I was using drugs. I had terrible friends. I had terrible advice. My dad had died, so I didn't have anybody to kind of mentor me and show me the way. And my life kept getting worse and worse and worse.
You're like, I just don't have it in me to make calls today. Okay, well, sooner or later, you're going to have to confront that you got to make calls, or you got to go talk to that girl, or whatever the deal is. You got to go talk to your boss, or you got to become more valuable to yourself and the environment around you. And the only way to become more valuable before you make that call, before you go talk to that girl, before you go talk to your boss, before you do the thing that maybe you don't know you want to do or need to do, start helping somebody else.
I didn't think one day I'd have a jet fly, I'd be able to fly private, or I'd have five companies that make a bunch of money. I never ever thought about that stuff. I had this little thing inside me said, hey man, I know I can do something. I know I can. You know you can do something. You know you can do more than you're doing right now.
For example, when I started LinkedIn and I went to all my, because you should go to all your smart friends and ask them. When I went to all my smart friends and asked them, they basically, two-thirds of them said I was an idiot for starting LinkedIn. It was like, this is a crazy idea. That's a good signal, right? And the reason it's a good signal is because if 100% of people think it's good, there's almost always problems that you're not seeing, and that enough other people think it's good too, that the competition pile around it is serious. So I like the fact that you say, why would smart people think this is not a good idea, but actually, in fact, there's something that makes it a good idea even despite that.
Entrepreneurship is a team sport more than it is an individual sport. People obviously celebrate the individual heroic entrepreneur, and the stories tend to be told in retrospect. But most successful entrepreneurship projects actually have 2 to 3 founders, sometimes even 5, although 2 to 3 is standard. So make sure that you have that solid initial founders, that your co-founders and the team around you. Your journey is almost certainly going to lead you through what I call the valley of the shadow. So that means that you should have a strong enough relationship with your founders that it will pressure test in difficult times.
Look for disruptive change. And the reason that I said look for disruptive change is because it's what are the opportunities that come about that are really new opportunities, that are something, and because the opportunity, generally speaking, has to be large. It can't be something that's like, well, boy, you know, it's been sitting there for 10 or 20 years and no one's ever really thought about it. That's very rarely the right answer. And if it's not large enough to be something that you could make something significant out of, it's not really high impact. And the kind of pioneer parallel to this is that if you're going to actually kind of pack up your wagons and go somewhere, make sure that where you're going is potentially really good, right? And that the algorithm by which you can think about that is all of a sudden there's a new opportunity. It's a change in technology. It's a change in competitive landscape. It's a change in kind of how the global ecosystem comes together.
Okay, so this whole idea and culture about burning out and needing to change and all this shit, that's fine, dude. If you really are burned out and you're not happy with your life and you need to change it, fine. Change it. Take a mulligan. Make the change. But I can tell you this, if you take that fucking mulligan every 2 years when things get hard, you're never going to achieve anything in your life because it takes longer than that. The reason you aren't getting shit done is not because you lack the time. It's not because you lack the talent. It's not because you lack the knowledge or the experience. The reality is, guys, it's always a mindset issue. You are believing the lies that keep you from being productive. Okay. And there's a lot of lies. But let me tell you the big three. Okay. Lie number one, I don't have the resources to get this done. What the fuck do you mean? Nobody has the resources to get anything great done. This is the mindset of the vast majority of people. And the people who say focus on your strengths and you don't need to worry about your weaknesses are, that's not an accurate statement. It's not reality. Because what'll happen is you will get really strong over here in this one area, but this weak part, this part that keeps on taking on water, will end up pulling you back. It'll act as if you're running full speed with a parachute on all the time. So while you don't need to dwell on your weaknesses, you do need to pay them enough attention to where you can handle them, to where they don't become a hindrance to the process or the journey that you're on. Vast majority of people look around and they look at what they don't have and they say, well, that guy over there had this and this and this going for him, and that's why he's where he is and why I'm not there. Okay, and this is also why they never accomplish anything. When I go out, a lot of you guys watch me and you see me out, you know, doing the Live Hard program when it's fucking minus 27 degrees like it was a month ago. And you're like, why the fuck is this guy doing this? Well, the reason I'm doing it is because I'm training myself to do things. Like, I know for a fucking fact that not a single one of my peers that owns a company out there that I'm competing with, or even in a personal development space, people I'm fucking, like, you know, my peers. Now, I'm not going to say they're competitors because I like these people. Mm-hmm. But I also take pride in being a little bit harder than what they are. And so while it may sound stupid to you, this is a way for me to prove to myself that I'm willing to do shit that they're not willing to do.
Not for yourself, for everybody else. And you will see how much better life is when people look at you with respect. Finally, for the first time in your life, when women look at you with a different look in their eyes, when they finally respect you, when men, important men, meet you and they finally respect you, when your family is finally proud of you. And all of that happens when you dedicate yourself to something, when you finally start to make more money than anyone else in your family can even fathom. That is when you're gonna feel happy, and that is when you're gonna matter. And it's truthfully your job. It is your job as a man. It has been bestowed upon us by the universe, by the cosmos, since the dawn of human time, to wake up, dedicate ourselves, and become capable. So if you want to make money, It's not for you to be able to fly on private jets across the Atlantic and smoke a fat cigar. That's not why you need to make money. You need to make money so that you finally are useful to the people who care about you and who you care about. I realized I had to get rich when I was 16 years old. I've told this story before, but I was walking to college with three of my friends and a guy burnt past in a red Ferrari. And I said to my friends while we were walking, how does this man have 300,000 pounds for a car when none of our families even have cars? Back then, the world was different. It wasn't like it is now. When I was 16, you didn't see money. I didn't see money. I didn't have the internet. I didn't see private jets. I didn't know Monaco. I didn't know Saint-Tropez was a place. I didn't know about girls on yachts. I didn't know about anything. I'm growing up in England, completely flat broke. And the first time I had access visually to money, I knew I couldn't live as a second-class citizen any longer. I make all of this clear to people, and I say that money is a competency test. You simply need to want it. If you want it, you're going to get it. But you're not going to get anything in this life you do not want. The cocaine-addicted hooker addict wants money for cocaine and hookers. That's why he's richer than you. The crack addict needs money for crack. That's how he manages to get some new money every fucking day with no job. You don't want it enough. If you want to get rich, I absolutely guarantee you, you will get rich. You have the entire fucking world at your fingertips, and you're still not motivated, and you still don't care enough, and you're still not prepared to try something new. You think you're working hard because you do your job every day. You're actually extremely lazy because you do your job every day because you don't want to think outside the box. You're so lazy, you would rather work all day every day than think of a new idea or try something new.
If you want to master daily excellence, your mornings must be non-negotiable. You must create a routine that strengthens your mindset, energizes your body, and focuses your attention on what matters most. Even 10 minutes of focused morning practice can rewire your brain and shift your entire day. The mistake most people make is waiting to feel like doing it. They wait for motivation to get up early. They wait until they have the energy to start strong. But that's not how excellence works. If you wait to feel ready, you'll stay stuck in the same patterns. Instead, you train yourself to wake up and move, no matter how you feel. One of the simplest but most powerful habits is getting up as soon as your alarm goes off. The moment you hit snooze, you are training your mind to procrastinate. You are conditioning yourself to break commitments. And that carries into everything else you do. But if you make waking up immediately a rule, no debate, no delay, you build the habit of instant execution. When you start your day with discipline, you carry that discipline into your work, your goals, your decisions. When you start your day with focus, you train your brain to filter out distractions. When you start your day with energy, you perform at a higher level in everything you do. Success does not start with big achievements. It starts with small, intentional choices. And if you can master your mornings, you'll gain control over the rest of your day. The second habit of daily excellence is controlling your focus. Your attention is your most valuable resource. Whatever you focus on expands. If you focus on problems, you create more stress. If you focus on distractions, you waste time and energy. But if you direct your attention toward growth, execution, and results, your actions will align with success. Most people never train their focus. They wake up with good intentions, but by the end of the day, they wonder where their time went. Excellence doesn't work that way. It requires deliberate control over what gets your attention. The people who dominate in life are not necessarily smarter or more talented. They simply know how to eliminate distractions and lock in on what matters. They don't let the outside world dictate their priorities. They don't allow every message, every request, or every interruption to pull them away from their mission. You must train your mind to focus like a laser. And the best way to do this is by setting clear rules for your attention. Block out time for deep work. Protect your focus as if it were the most important thing in your life, because it is.
time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.